Good evening, everybody. It's great to have you here. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read the following. I'm going to read here from the NIV version. It says the following: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." This title this morning, I'm actually borrowing from Pastor Fred in the corridors of church and in meetings with leadership. Pastor Fred has been talking a lot about this concept of Christ's confidence, and I know when he gets a chance to preach on this, he will take it to a new level. But before he does, I want to use the title to focus on something very basic, something very fundamental to our faith, something that has changed my life and many others, but sometimes also the cause of many casualties around us. Something that, even though it's powerful to change so many lives, it's also a trap that the devil from time to time uses. Scripture talks about our confidence to enter the most holy place. And when Scripture here in the New Testament refers to the most holy place, it of course refers back to the Old Testament and the temple. And within the temple, the most holy of holies is the place where God's presence resided. And man could not enter into God's presence because of our sin. Only once a year could the high priest enter into this place, into the presence of God, to bring a sacrifice on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of sin, the atonement of their sins. And I remember as a young boy, I don't know who of you have seen the first Indiana Jones movie. Any of you? But I want to know who of you saw it in the movies. There we go. There's some of us. We're a different generation. But if you recall, the one thing that I, or there's two things that I recall about Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was the storyline of the Germans stealing the Lost Ark, the Ark of God, and this whole adventure trying to get it out of their hands. And there's two things that I remember. First of all, is Indiana Jones was afraid of snakes. I can remember that. And the second thing that made the greatest impression on me as a child, growing up in church and knowing of the holiness of God, was at the end when they got the ark and the Nazis were at the point of opening it up, Indiana Jones spoke to his friend next to him and said, "Don't look." He knew something about Scripture. "Don't look at it. Turn away from it." And they looked away and the Nazis opened and they were all consumed in God's holiness. And that was just a story. That was just a figment of somebody's imagination. But that is man's greatest problem: our sin in the presence of a holy God. The consequence of that we read in Romans 3 verse 23 is not only that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but that the wages, the result of the sin, is death. But with that reality comes something that I really want to talk about this evening, and that is guilt. Now, if you come to Bible school, which you should, you will learn that guilt is both a fact and a feeling. It is a fact because God is the one that says that we are guilty, but it is also a feeling within us as our conscience accuses us of the very fact that we are guilty before God. And even in the garden with Adam and Eve, as you recall, after they have sinned and their eyes were opened, the first thing that happened to them was a sense of guilt. And when God came to have fellowship with them again, as usual, they hid themselves from God because they had a guilty conscience. And this evening I want to share around guilt. The sacrificial system of the Old Testament and the law was only a shadow and a temporal provision for man's sin. A shadow of reality, not the realities in themselves. They were only temporarily set there for us so that we can have a glimpse of what God's plan is for us. But what a powerful shadow. What a powerful metaphor indeed. For once one have sinned, there was only one way to be free of the guilt, and that is through sacrifice. And if you have sinned, you had to go and pick a blameless lamb. You had to search for a perfect, blameless lamb, and you had to take it to the residence of God, to the holy place where he lives in Jerusalem. And if you know anything about sheep, you can chase sheep, but you can't chase lambs. Anybody tried to do that before? You can chase sheep, but you can't chase a lamb. The only way to get a lamb from point A to point B is to carry it. So you'll have to pick out among your flock a blameless and pure lamb, and then you need to pick it up. And for some people, they had to walk for days to get to the temple with this blameless lamb upon their shoulders, knowing that this lamb was going to take their place. And when you reach the temple, you bring this lamb before the priest. And the priest inspects the lamb to see if it is blameless. And then something happens. You take this lamb before the priest, you place your hands upon its head, and you make a confession of your sins before the priest and before God. And as you do this confession of your sin, you transfer your guilt upon this lamb. And then the priest takes the lamb and in front of your eyes kills it. So that there can be no doubt in your mind the consequence of your sin, but also the reality of substitution, of imputation, of taking your guilt and your shame and placing it on something else that is blameless, that takes your place on your behalf. But that in itself was only a shadow of the realities themselves. And I want us to look at these realities, if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1 to 4. And you can keep your finger and your bookmark there if you have a Bible. If you don't, we have it on the screen, but it's only for the visitors. So please bring your Bible to church. Nevertheless, I'm reading from the NIV. The law is only a shadow for the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It is impossible, even though the law required it to be done, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, the worshippers in the Old Testament had a problem. They had a problem that even though they obeyed the law and they brought the sacrifices before God, they had a problem with their conscience. They were still guilty before God in their conscience. Their conscience accused them, and there was nothing that they could do about it, because the blood of bulls and goats could not make them perfect. So they had the problem with guilt. It says here in verse 4, they felt guilty for their sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And when their conscience accused them, they felt guilty. And you know what is the biggest problem about guilt? It makes you hide from God. It makes you run away. It makes you realize in the reality of God's holiness and righteousness versus your own, you are not worthy to come in His presence. And just like the garden, the result of guilt in ourselves is that we tend to hide away from God, because we know that we are not worthy in His presence. And if your own conscience do not accuse you, I assure you the devil will. The devil will come to you and say that you have sinned again. Look at yourself. Again and again you fail. You are not worthy to come in His presence. And what about that sin that you committed 2 years ago? That great and awesome sin. Do you really believe that God can ever forgive you? That you can ever be free? If it's not our own conscience that accuses us, The devil certainly will. The problem of guilt. But then God did something that changed my life. Not just my life, but the life of many others. Sin is a personal matter to God, but He also dealt with it in a very personal way. And I want us to turn and continue to read in verse 5. It says the following: "And we have an account of Christ with His Father before He entered into the world. In the context of the system, there was only a shadow of things to come that couldn't really satisfy God. We have this account between the Father and the Son before the incarnation. And we read here from verse 5, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" The blood of bulls and goats could not satisfy your righteousness, your holiness, because it was not perfect. So you prepared a body for me, Father. So here I am. And then he continues in saying, "With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. So then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" God, I know that the sacrifices of the blood of the bulls and goats did not satisfy you. So you gave me a body so that I can become the perfect sacrifice. So that I can become the sacrifice that will satisfy you. That will complete you. So here I am, Father, to do your will. Remember in the garden when Jesus came with his disciples before he was betrayed, before the moment of his death and the events that led to it. Jesus came with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was stressed out, sorrowful to the point of death, scripture says, and he pleaded with his disciples to pray with him, to stand with him as he went on his own to pray this powerful prayer that we know so well. He came before God and he said, my Father, if it is at all possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, Father, not my will but your will. Father, if this is all possible for me who knows no sin to become sin and face your holiness and your judgment on behalf of the sins of the whole world, God, if this is at all possible, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And then he went to his disciples, found them asleep, woke them up and asked them, please pray with me. And then he went back a second time and he prayed exactly the same prayer. My Father, if this is at all possible, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then he went again to find his disciples asleep and woke them up and said, can't you even stand with me for an hour? And then he went back praying again. And you know why I believe he prayed the same prayer over and over again? Because heaven was silent. Heaven was silent because Christ knew the will of the Father. He knew that that was the purpose that he came. And he sweated blood because he knew the consequences of it. Yet he knew that this is the only thing that will satisfy God completely for the sins of the whole world. And then he left that place and he told his disciples, come, let us rise, for my hour has come. Here is my betrayer. God, who knew no sin, became sin for us and faced the consequences before a holy God. Became the perfect lamb, the sacrifice that satisfied God completely. And then we read on in verse 8, it says, first he said, sacrifices and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. And then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will,
we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Amen? Isn't that amazing? That Christ came into this world to do the will of God, to become the perfect sacrifice once and for all. Never again do we have to come to Him repeatedly year after year and make sacrifices that cannot make us perfect and stand before Him with a guilty conscience because God gave His Son once and for all. For every sin. Jesus' last words on the cross was, "It is finished. It is over. Once and for all. Never again do you need to sacrifice. Because there's only one sacrifice that satisfies God completely. And that was His Son on the cross. So that we can be free." In 1 John 1 verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purify us from all sin." It actually in the Greek says, from every sin. It doesn't matter how great, how small, how many. That sacrifice on the cross is the only thing that satisfies God for your sin. And John 3 verse 16, we know it so well. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send, verse 17, His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's motivation was love. His purpose was to save humanity. And the mechanism of that salvation is through faith in that sacrifice. It is only through faith in the sacrifice that we appropriate, that we make it our own. There is no other way that we can satisfy God's holiness. There's no other way that we can come into His presence with boldness, except through the blood of Christ. And the reason I say that is because God says that. It's not the opinion of man. It's not the philosophy of man. It is the Word of God. It is God that says, "I gave my Son." It is God that says, "This is the only way." It is God that says that this is sufficient for you. And the reason I say that, as obvious as it might be, is because that was the trick of the devil. That was the strategy at the fall. When God created everything and spoke to man, said, "This is it. Everything is yours. You can eat of it, live of it, enjoy it, except this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that, you will surely die." And then the devil came, and the first things that he spoke to man was the question. Did God really say? Did God really say that if you eat this, you will die? And then he questioned God's character and he said, no, God actually wants to take from you. Because He knows if you eat of this, you will become like Him. You will be like God. So the devil came to question God's word, question His character. And man stood at a crossroad to choose whether they're going to believe what God says or what Satan says. And we know the choice that was made and the consequence of it. It is important to know that God is the first one who will say that you are guilty. God is the first one that says, "I am guilty." But He's also the first one to say that the sacrifice of my Son on the cross is sufficient for every sin. The amazing thing is when we come into the presence of God, God does not ignore our sin. He does not hide our sin. He sees it plainly before Him and He says that we are guilty, but then He sees the blood of His Son that was already sacrificed for every sin. And we are justified. We come in front of Him without fear, without guilt, with boldness because of what He has done. That is the gospel, that is the good news, that we don't have to try and earn our righteousness because it is from Him. But you know, there's sometimes something that interferes with this relationship with God. It's called our guilty conscience. Whenever I want to approach God, I am constantly reminded of my sin.
I'm reminded of the things that I've done and failed to do. I'm reminded of His holiness and His righteousness versus my own. But you know what? Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that barrier has been removed. There's no more reason to be afraid. The moment you put your faith in what God says and what God has done, your conscience is cleared. Have you ever tried that before? Come before God with guilt and shame of the sin that you've committed, and you say, God, I am guilty before you, but I thank you for your Son on the cross and His blood that was shed for me, that I may come to you and ask forgiveness. And because of what you have done, God, I am free. The moment you choose to believe what God says about His Son and the sacrifice, your conscience is cleared. But you know, the devil knows that also. So he comes with this accusation and say, but you are not worthy. You failed again and again and again. God cannot use you. And the accusation becomes his most powerful weapon. The question we need to ask ourselves when we have a guilty conscience is, how do we come in his presence? Are we coming into God's presence through the blood of Christ, or are we trying to come into his presence through something else? Maybe we're trying to come into God's presence through our feelings. Or maybe we are trying to come into his presence through our good works. You see, the reason we try to answer the accusation of Satan through our own works and through our own feelings is because somehow we believe that there's still within us some ground of righteousness, some grounds that we can argue against him. And that's the trap of the devil. He wants us to look to ourselves and not to Christ. He wants us to try and find within ourselves some righteousness to stand upon, because he knows we will fail every time. And guilt will creep in, our faith will wane, and we will become ineffective. Because our salvation, our righteousness, our justification is not in our own merit, but in his merit. It's not on what we can do, but what he has done. And we can have boldness through faith in that. If I come to him by the blood, I recognize my sin, I confess it, and I confess my need for forgiveness and cleansing. And I come to Christ and to God through Christ and through his finished work on the cross. I come to God every time by the blood of Christ, as the Israelites that took it on those doorposts at the seventh plague. And the death angel passed by. It was sufficient. The blood was sufficient. The blood in your life is sufficient for every sin. That's why Christ came. So that we can take it on ourselves and come to God with his blood. With his sacrifice. That is the only perfect sacrifice. The only thing that satisfies God. And we can come into his presence with boldness. Every single time. But don't fall for the trap. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own righteousness. Don't look to your own feelings or your own good works. Because that's all that Satan wants us to do. Look away from what Christ has done. Look away at his merit and try to find our own. In Hebrews 10 verse 19 we read, therefore brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with the pure water. Listen to this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. We're back at the garden. God says it is sufficient. And then it says that we must have full assurance. Hold on to what God has said and also to his character, because he who said it is faithful. And then so many times, even though Christ is our advocate,
we choose to believe our accuser. The blood speaks in our favor. Instead, we listen to Satan. And we're back again at the garden. Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe what Satan says? And it's at that moment where we also have the most powerful weapon, the blood and our testimony. The devil will come again and again, questioning God's word, questioning his character. But Revelations 11:12 says that we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our faith in him and our profession of that are holding on to that. And it will not only silence the devil, it will make him run for now and forever. And that is the power that we have in Christ. That is our confidence that we have. So this evening, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you of what God says from the beginning of time about his son and that sacrifice, that it is sufficient for you. For every sin. No matter how great, no matter how small, no matter how frequent you fall, there is only one way to be free. It is his son. And your faith in what God says about his son. And when you apply it to your life, you can be free. God says his sacrifice is sufficient for you. And the reason I'm sharing this evening is because I just felt God is saying there are so many of us, even though we've embraced him, we still feel guilty before him. We're still afraid to come in his presence. We are still hiding ourselves. We are still trying to find in ourselves some way to come before him. And God is saying, enough. Enough. My son is enough. Let it go. That invitation earlier to come to him, to let go of your heaviness and your burdens, and to put your faith in him. God is saying this evening, come to me. Let go of your sin and your guilt and your shame. And put your faith in my word, in my son, and in me. And you will be free. Let us stand. Father, we thank you for your great, your awesome love. God, we thank you that you have given us your Son, that we may know how much you love us, that you have given us everything. God, thank you that you were willing to become man for us, that you were willing to become sin, even though you knew no sin. That you were willing, God, to stand before your Father, knowing his holiness and his judgment. That you were willing, God, to become that sacrifice that satisfies you completely. And God, thank you that we can have full assurance of your love, but also your sacrifice. Full assurance, God, that we can come into your presence without fear, without shame, without guilt. God, when we apply that blood in our lives, it is that you see. It is that sets us free. It's not our own merit that we come to you with, God. It is your merit. And we can rest in that. Lord, thank you that you have dealt with every sin, that you see it plainly. And even when Satan comes to accuse us, God, we can answer him and say, yes, I am guilty, but the blood has set me free. And he will flee from us. And when our conscience accuses us, we can declare, but I put my faith and trust in him because he has set me free. Because he has said so. And God, I want to pray for each and every person here who is still struggling with guilt. God, I want to pray that this evening they will be set free once and for all. And while our eyes are still closed, if you've been struggling with guilt, if If you've been struggling with shame, I really believe God wants to deal with that tonight, once and for all. He wants to set you free, and I want us to do it in a way, a very powerful way, that He has given to us, and that is communion. When we take His blood and His flesh and we confess it, we put our faith in it, and we thank Him for what He says He has done for us. So as the ushers come forward with the communion, I want to ask you this evening, if you've been struggling with guilt, God wants to deal with it tonight, once and for all. I want to ask you to come forward and partake with us as we take the blood and we take the flesh and we confess what God has done for us. So I want to ask you right now, just come forward. God is making an invitation to deal with it once and for all. Don't be a slave to sin and guilt, because you're already free. You must just apply it. Don't let the devil lie to you to keep you in bondage. But break that yoke over your life once and for all. Put your faith in His word, in His character, not in what the devil says, not in what the world may say, but what God says. Why be ashamed? Why be afraid? If God is for you, who can be against you? And He is. Come, make it your own today. Maybe you are here and you have never given your life to God. Maybe you've never come to God and say, here I am. I am guilty, God. I am a sinner, but I need salvation. I need to be free, God. If you've never done that, today I want you to come also, because this will change you for forever. For eternity. And I just want us to hand out the elements. Don't go to your seats, just stay right here. If you're making a commitment for the first time, I'm not talking about a recommitment, but for the first time, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Is there anybody here that for the first time is giving their life to God? Is there anyone? As we finish up here, I want the ushers to hand out the rest to all of us. So that we can all partake in what He has done for us on the cross. Not just His death, but His resurrection. Romans 6 put it so beautifully. We not only died with Him, but we were also raised with Him to a new life. And as we hand this out, I'm going to give you a moment as you stand here. I want you to bring your sin. I want to bring your shame, your guilt, the thing that has been holding you, the thing that has been held against you. I want you to come before God. Bring that memory, bring that thought, bring that sin, bring that guilt before God in your own words. Just bring it to Him. Say, God, I am a sinner. God, I have failed You. Bring it before Him, and then I want you to say, God, I thank You that Your blood is sufficient for this sin. Not because Andre says so, but because You say so, God. And I choose to believe that, and I thank You for that, God. I want to take this sin, God, and I ask You to wash me clean. And I thank You, God, for what You have done for me. In Your own heart, in Your own words, just bring it before God. Just where you're at.
I just have a name on my mind, Werner. I think the Lord is wanting to speak to you specifically. I don't know who you are, if you're out there or if you're here in the front. Is there a Werner here in the front? Is there a guy called Werner here in the front? I believe there's probably somebody like that. Lord, the Lord wants to particularly call you out and He wants to set you free. So if there's somebody by that name here, the Lord is speaking to you specifically and He wants you to come forward so that He can set you free.
I also felt the Lord saying that there's specific people that have, there's like this one sin that you have committed, and for some people it's losing your virginity, some people it's abortion. It's like this intense thing, and it's just this one massive big thing, and you cannot forgive yourself for what you've done, and it's sort of just, it hangs over you like a sword, and the Lord is just saying, just give it to Him. He doesn't matter how big or how small, He wants to release you from that thing that's hanging over your head. It's like a dagger. It's like a thing that's been there all the time. But it's like you just sometimes feel you want to die, sometimes not. You haven't even spoken just even to anybody about just that one thing. And the Lord actually wants to just set you free. He wants you to experience the freedom of restoration tonight as you just come to Him. Because the blood of Jesus doesn't just cleanse the little ones, but actually the big ones as well. And I just felt I need to encourage you with that tonight. But bring it to Him. Say, Lord, I want you to wash me clean from that thing, that accusation. But especially the unforgiveness that I have towards myself for doing that stuff. Because I actually accuse myself for doing it. And I need to release myself from that before you.
On that matter, I just want to say that God does not just forgive that sin. He restores you. Completely. Some of you have been believing the lie. You thought, well, you know, He can forgive many sins, but He cannot restore you in this area. But the Lord says to you that He wants to restore you completely. He wants to restore your innocence in your mind, and He's well able to do that. So just come. If that is your thing that accuses you, just come to the front and say, Lord, I want you to restore me completely. Make me a virgin again, and He will do that.
The difference between the old and the new is in the law. Through sacrifice, we had atonement, which literally means to cover something. Atonement could only cover the sin. But when Jesus came to earth, John the Baptist, that was sent to prepare the way, declared out loud in public, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Your sin is not covered, it's taken away. It's no longer there. As Lucille has said, and see us, there is no more shame, there is no more guilt. Just bring it to Him, put your faith in Him. Anybody that we have missed? I've been missed. There's some people. Ushers, just raise your hand. Keep your hands high that we can see. We still need something. Some bread or wine. Here in the front. Ushers, are there still ushers around? I've been missed. Anybody else? There's still one hand there. Two hands, three hands, four, five, six. Up here in front, here with me. There's another hand here. These two gentlemen up here. You got? Yeah, we still have two hands. Some bread and wine. Juice. Anybody else? Yes,
there's a gentleman. Is he asked this way? Anyone else? There at the back, there's a hand. Just raise your hand again, please. There we go. Let's just close our eyes again. Father, we thank you. Your Son and your love. For us, the night before you betrayed, Lord, you took bread. You broke it and you said, "This is my body. It's broken for us." You have become the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the body that you received from your Father. Thank you, God, that you became sin for us. All our sin, God, was imputed upon you. And you stood on our behalf in front of the Holy God. You faced the punishment that we deserved. God, we thank you for it. We choose to believe in it. We put our faith in it, God. We make it our own, God, as we eat of it. In Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for this cup, Lord, that you gave. This cup that is your blood that was shed for us, that washes us clean, that puts us right before God, that puts your seal upon us, God, that we can have confidence. Not in ourselves, but in you, God. We thank you that this blood that was shed for us on your cross 2,000 years ago is sufficient for us. It is sufficient for every sin, God. Every single thing. It takes it away forever and ever before your throne. And we can have boldness and confidence and a clean conscience before you because what you have done through your Son. Let us drink together. And if you believe this, I can declare to you this evening with boldness that your sins are forgiven. You are set free. And you can stand on this blood for the rest of your life. If you stand on this ground and don't remove from it, Satan has no ground. And he will flee from you. And you will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. May God bless you. May you be free. Never a slave again. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much. May God bless you. We're going to end off with one song. And then we can all go. Let us just confess our faith in what God has done for us.